Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. Getting into someone else's mind is really a difficult thing. What makes people think and act the way they do, it's not easy. And as you listen to the news and you maybe you've thought to yourself or said out loud to yourself, why on earth, or what was that person thinking? What was going on in their head to make them do this action? You hear about a gunman who enters a school and randomly shoots teachers and students. You hear about bombings. You hear about a mother who drives a car into the lake to kill her children. You hear about someone brutally hurting someone else. And each time you probably shake your head and you can't fathom what has happened in this person's life. What is going on in their head? Some years ago, I listened as a woman in one of our grief support groups that we're leading. And it was 20 years previous that she was a young mother, and she and her two children were shocked and traumatized by the unexpected death of their husband and father. It seemed he had a normal lunch with the family, went out to the shed and ended his life. The police, the friends, the family, the neighbors were all asking that same question. Why did he do that? What was going on in his head? And that seemed like, well, there was an extreme action, but nobody could get into his head. Nobody could understand. Nobody ever knew. But much as they would have liked to have gained that insight into this husband and father, what he was really thinking, it was impossible. You might ask, how does Jesus understand what's happening in our lives? We live in a fast-paced world, so different from those dusty roads that Jesus walked on in the first century of Palestine. Does he really understand our needs and our sufferings? Can he empathize with our modern-day worries, if you will, especially those worries that upset us and stress us? Does he really know what's going on in our minds and what it is that is distressing us? And to be more specific, since Jesus didn't live here in this modern era, we might ask, while we're here on this earth, does he know what it's like to be in a hospital bed, or to know what it's like being 70 or 80 or 90, and all that goes with an aging mind and an aging body? Does he know the stresses that are involved as we go through all of the stages of life? Getting married, raising children, teaching teenagers, changing jobs, planning for retirement, and then at some point maybe struggle with that moment in which to go into a care facility or even to go on hospice. Does Jesus know? Does he even care about these things, which in the big picture of the whole universe really are quite trivial, but to us, they are what make up our everyday lives. It's easy to acknowledge that Jesus is God, that he was there at creation of the world, and he now rules with all power and authority. As Paul wrote, Christ rules far above all heavenly rulers, authorities, powers, and dominions. He has the title superior to the titles of authority in this world and the next. Jesus seems maybe a bit totally different from us in his ways, his wisdom, his knowledge, his decision. They seem far beyond our comprehension. And theologians have called God the totally other. If Jesus is that glorified one, the totally other, how well can he appreciate the things that are happening in our lives right now? Did he ever have a sick day? Did he ever grapple with depression or terminal illness or dementia or live in a dysfunctional family? The devil and our human nature, of course, would like to make us believe that Jesus cannot relate to our modern everyday situation. How can he know exactly what you and I are going through? We may doubt and question whether he or anyone can truly understand what we're going through and what life is really like. We know that Jesus is that perfect person to walk on this earth and leads us to ask, was his personality, his character, his ability to cope and endure, his patience, his understanding, his compassion, so perfect from the moment that he was born that it made him impossible to understand what's it like to be perfect or what it's like to be not be perfect? And you see, therein lies the big question that's almost as old as Christianity itself. Was Jesus really human? Was he God simply in human disguise? Or in other words, did he or did he not really become one of us? That question led to several heresies in the ancient church. And guess what? There's still remnants of that today and around us in our lives. The answer that we give is crucial. And among the things that Christians believe is that through that birth, life and death of Christ, God became fully a part of what it means to be truly human. He didn't stand aloof from pain or trouble, but rather he came right into the middle of all these causes of suffering and the sadness, depression and sin and rebellion and death. And Jesus understands all the emotions that go with that we go through as we read and hear those Bible stories. You see those examples. What was Christmas that we celebrated not so long? What's it all about? It's about God leaving heaven and being involved and becoming truly human on this planet, including birth in a time when infants were dying as soon or shortly after birth, or, well, a time also when he's born with a ruler that would kill babies in order because he felt threatened somehow. He's God incarnate, God in the flesh. And that means all that we are as humans. And because of Jesus, yes, God can identify with us. He actually cares about us, and he personally knows us inside and out, and outside in. He knows what is really happening inside of you and me and causes the trauma and the drama of our lives better than we know ourselves. He knows all of this because he's lived here amongst it all, and he's experienced it. Maybe not in the sense of modern day, but humanity hasn't changed. We say that through Jesus, God knows what it's like to be hungry and to have plenty, to toil and to sweat. He knows the frustration of learning a discipline and skills which aren't natural. He comprehends what it's like to sleep peacefully and to toss sleeplessly, to relax and to enjoy a bit of humor. And Jesus may not have been an old man and experienced all the aches and pains of old age that it brings, but he certainly knew what every muscle and sinew and tendon and gaping wound as he hung there in agony after his flogging and his crucifixion. And through Jesus, God personally knows the sneakiness of some of those temptations and that full audacity and the onslaught of others. It's from Christ that God appreciates what it's like to be warmed by a smile and be snubbed by indifference and to be outright rejected. God understands what it's like to enjoy a new friendship and the treasure an old one, to feel affirmed and to feel betrayed, to suffer innocently for the truth and to be misunderstood, to have enemies, and to suffer emotional and physical agony, and yes, to feel forsaken. Yes, forsaken, forsaken by everyone else. And on the cross there, he even feels to be forsaken by God the Father. And some people say that if Jesus is not divine, then Christianity is a hoax. But you see, that's only part of the truth. I would add there, to correct those ancient heresies, that if Jesus is not fully divine and fully human, then Christianity is a hoax. For he is both human and divine. When the writer of the Hebrews says, in this life on earth, Jesus made prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him, he's reflecting on Jesus in that agony of in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross. And it's there that he felt the fear, the dread, the terror, and the anxiety, just as any of us would feel in those circumstances or in the circumstances of our lives. He prayed and begged God to save him, but he was still had to suffer, and he did it willingly. And the letters to the Hebrews there presents Jesus as that truly obedient son. For it says he learned obedience through what he suffered. Obedience led to that suffering, and even though he hated death just as much as anyone else, he trusted God perfectly. And through his obedience, he gained that forgiveness when we buckle under the weight of suffering and depression. For all those who doubt God's love, it's there that sometimes it seems like it's more than can be endured. Yes, surely doubt has entered into our minds at some point. And it's natural for us to shy away from suffering, and not surprisingly, we dislike hard discipline and pain. We would like to be, if you will, trouble-free and in a painless existence. And yet, we need to face the unpalatable truth that we often learn more through suffering than we do during those comfortable times. Some years ago, a fairly successful movie star and a TV star, Michael J. Fox, was interviewed. And at the age of 29, and he's now 62 years old, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He'd been on quite a quest for the cure. And this interviewer asked Michael Fox, after a clip of Back to the Future, about time travel, if you could go back in time, really, would you change the fact that you've got Parkinson's, wouldn't you? And Fox replied, no, I wouldn't. I absolutely wouldn't. This is the path that I am on. It's like I gave up my job to do my life's work. That's an amazing statement when you think about it. There's an element of sacrifice there that the idea of suffering can be used creatively by God and can enhance the beauty and the meaning of other human lives. You know of times in your life, maybe some kind of trial or suffering that led you to grow in an understanding of God and developed your perseverance, strengthened your faith and trust, and increased your awareness of the suffering of others. The path that Jesus was on included obedience and suffering, and it was his life's work. And that's what brought about the cure for the greatest sickness of all, the sickness of sin and death. And even though Jesus never sinned, he knows shame, guilt that sin brings in our lives. He was nailed to a cross, but it was more than those nails that held him there, because he could have, in his almighty power, come down and healed himself and cursed his enemies. Nails through the flesh, But it was our sin and shame and guilt that pinned him to that cross. And he hung there and felt that shame and died for our sin. And it was his love for us that kept him there. He must have been overwhelmed with the sadness of how much evil humanity had done. And it was now bearing down on him. The scripture says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But he did that willingly and knowingly. When we look at the scriptures, we can see Jesus in two ways or two aspects. In every way, Jesus is just as one of us. He was human as you and I. He's born and he dies. He knows the very real way of what it means to suffer pain, to have needs, to feel vulnerable and to helpless. The man Jesus died undignified death on a cross as a sinner giving his life to save all mankind. And that means and includes you and me. But the scriptures also show us that Jesus is God. He created the world and us, and the Creator knows his creation. He knows us more intimately than you or I could ever imagine. He knows you and I before we were ever born. And it's there that even before we were aware of ourselves. He rose from death and he rules in heaven. And he is, as the writer of Hebrews says, the high priest, the eternal high priest, who presents our needs and prayers for us before our Father's throne in a compassionate and understanding way. Go back just the chapter before our text. In chapter 4, he says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every way, every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. At the beginning, I talked about getting into the mind of someone else and understanding what that person is, where they're coming from, and what it is that makes him or her act in certain ways. But what makes us tick might be a bit more of a mystery to other people, but it's no mystery to Jesus. Our last verse there encourages us to approach God's throne of grace boldly and confidently in Christ, because he knows our every human need, our every spiritual need. Jesus is that high priest who hears, knows, and understands you. He is there to intercede for you and to answer you in the best possible way. In the name of Jesus, our great high priest. Amen.